Now what do we do? Anybody feel like they just ran a marathon through Christmas? Yeah, Charles. Now what do we do? Christmas is over, and sometimes this time of year I'm like, okay, now what? Oh yeah, New Year. We got a New Year coming up, right? We're celebrating New Year's. Oh, I probably should write my resolution today. Okay. Yeah. Get my plans ready for tonight, my pajama plans. Anybody else going to be in bed by 9:30? Pajama. All right. We're going to the same party. Separate houses, same party. Christmas is over. Now what do? We should probably take down decorations. We need to take down decorations. All right, Christmas lights outside. I've got a really, really, really dead tree in my house, dropping pine needles everywhere. We need to get it outside and get it chopped up. We got lots to do. Now Christmas is over, we can move on. How about some rest? Anybody want rest? A lot of arms going up. I'm exhausted. I'm tired. Let's chill. Relax. Christmas is over. Let's chill and relax. Oh, I know. Christmas is over. Let's get a good financial plan together for ourselves for next year, because our budget is laughing at us hilariously right now, isn't it? Want to get a spreadsheet together this week, Pastor Tosh? She's on it. She wants to get the spreadsheet together. I actually had a conversation. I actually got a lecture about that this week, so it's kind of hitting too close to home right now. Christmas is over. Now what should we do? We celebrated Jesus' birth. It's in the rearview mirror. It was last week. For all of us, Jesus' birth, as we went through over Advent, it's a life-changing, simply miraculous birth of a baby who lived of a person who lived a perfect life and reconciled us to God and provided salvation to all of us. But that's over. Let's move on. Let's go. Christmas is over. I totally get in that kind of mode this time of year. So you're going to get a sermon on it, because I got a sermon on it this week. It's kind of sad that we'd live like that. Oh, between Thanksgiving and Christmas, we're getting ready for Jesus' birth. Now it's over. Let's move on. Put everything up. One of my deacons asked me today, hey, when do you want me to take the Christmas decorations down? I'm like, oh yeah, let's do that. Time to move on. Rest up. Get our finances in order. Do our resolution that we're probably going to break by the end of the year. Hate to be negative, but let's be honest. That's what the statistics say. By the end of the month, we'll be done with those. Clean up the holiday stuff. Is this really how Jesus wants us to celebrate Christmas? You catching on to my sarcasm a little bit this morning? I don't think so. I don't think Jesus wants us to just look at it as a four or five weeks. We had 5 weeks in between this year, but 5 weeks of time between Thanksgiving and Christmas, and then we just move on. We're done. So this morning, I'd like to talk about, okay, what does Scripture tell us about what we should do at this point? It's after Christmas. What should we do? And I think it's important to look what happened in Scripture immediately after Christmas, after Jesus was born. The wise men came. Matthew 2. So before we get into the Scripture about the wise men, who we don't know a lot about, but we'll get into that in a minute, I want to make sure you understand that this was after Jesus' birth. The wise men came after Jesus' birth. We just celebrated Jesus' birth. So we're like in that time of the wise men. So their story, as I point out three or four things that we can do, that they did after Jesus' birth. Jesus was born. Now what? Oh, here we go. We'll go right to Scripture. What happened after Jesus was born? We see it in the wise men, and when we read the story of the wise men in Matthew 2, 1 through 12. So remember, there's no shepherds, there's no manger scene really. I know all you people see the nativity with the shepherds and the magi all together, but it probably didn't happen that way. This was after that moment. And the magi are going to give us, the wise men, are going to give us a few things to reflect upon and to implement in our life. Are you ready, people? All right. Bring it. I shall. Matthew 2, we're going to read 1 through 12. This is the story of the wise men and the magi. And it starts out at the very beginning, bringing home what I've just talked about. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem, sometime after, we don't know when, sometime after, In Judea, during the time of King Herod, magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where's the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written." "But you, Bethlehem," a certain senior pastor preached on this last week, "but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship the king." That was full of sarcasm too. That's that verse. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. I want to say that again. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. All right, so there's the scripture. Let's pick it apart a little bit. Christmas is over. Jesus is born. Now what? The Magi are going to tell us. The first thing, when I read this, we see people who are seeking God, the King, the Messiah, Jesus. They wanted to be closer to him. Now, I was thinking about this. They're far away. We don't know exactly where, but far, far away. And they see a star that they know points them into the direction of a king. And they could have just been cool with that, right? They could have just said, "Oh, that's nice. A king of the Jews has been born, the Messiah." They could have been totally fine with that and the knowledge of that. But they didn't just stop at that. They could have been satisfied with the knowledge and let it go, but that wasn't good enough for them. They wanted to be closer to Jesus. They sought him out. They went on a major trip. They left their homes to go on a big journey to a far, far away place. They didn't know exactly where they went. In fact, they stopped to get directions, which tells me that there was one wise woman in the group. Sorry for that sexist joke, but oh, wow, I lost the crowd. Okay. But they left. Do you see what I'm saying here? They left the comfort of their place to do what? They didn't even know where they were going, ish. But they wanted to be closer to Jesus. That was the reason they left. They wanted to find this king. They were seeking him out. They wanted to be closer. What a lesson that is for us today. We know that Jesus has been born. Now what? Let's try to get closer to him. Let's seek him more and more on a daily basis, please. Moment by moment. We need to be those kind of Christians who always are looking for ways to get closer and closer and closer to Jesus. Are you good with just knowing about Jesus a little bit, the little bit that you might know, or the lot of bit that you know? Are you good with that? Are you satisfied with that? Or do you want to be closer? Goodness, I want us to be a church that wants to be closer to Jesus, to continuously seek him out. Let's not settle with just the little knowledge that we have. And I'm just going to say, for me, it's little knowledge. Because every time I learn more, I'm like, man, there's so much I don't know, right? Let's not settle with that. But let's continue to strive to go towards Jesus, to seek him out. and to get closer and closer and closer to him, as close as we possibly can. Sometimes that means you got to step out of your comfort zone, out of your jammies at home. These magi totally stepped out of their comfort zone, went on a trip they didn't even know what was going on for sure, how long it was going to be. We need to be like that. Let's draw closer and closer to the Savior. That's an idea of what we can do now that Christmas is over. Agreed? You guys on board with me? Awesome. The second thing I was looking at this scripture, in verse 6, they look at the Old Testament scripture out of Micah, right? That says that the ruler is going to be a shepherd of my people. So not only did they seek Jesus, but when they learned about him, they found out that this was going to be someone that they could follow. So they sought him out and then learned, oh my goodness, this is going to be a shepherd, somebody that I can follow, someone who can lead me. Once the wise men found the shepherd in the form of Jesus, they knew that they were going to be led. They knew that they found someone who was going to guide them and direct them, and that they could continuously follow. The only way that Jesus is our shepherd in our life is if we take on the role as the sheep. Are you guys ready to take on the role as a sheep, or do you understand what that means? If you don't know, we did a Bible study. I don't know, was it this year? Yeah, this year, last year, sometime. On sheep. And I'm going to tell you something about sheep. They're not good alone. They are not independent creatures. They need constant care. And if they don't get that constant care, they make bad decisions and they die. In the physical, like the literal. We are exactly like that spiritually speaking. You understand that? We needed someone to come to help us constantly spiritually guide us and direct us and lead us. And that was found in Jesus, in a baby that the Magi found. If we don't have a leader or someone to guide and direct us, spiritually speaking, we die. We perish. Sheep are helpless, vulnerable, totally dependent on their shepherd, just like us. Helpless, vulnerable, and totally dependent on our shepherd. The Magi found the baby Jesus after seeking, right? They wanted to get closer. And then when they found him, they knew they had found someone to lead them. How about we do that now that Christmas is over? Now what do we do? We seek Jesus, we get as close to Jesus as we can, and then we let him guide and direct us, and we follow him. The perfect, awesome shepherd who takes care of us. Because we're not too smart without him. Let's just be honest. I mean, if you read some of the things these sheep do out in the wilderness, I mean, like eating stuff that is poisonous and then they just fall over, they roll over on their back and can't figure out how to get tip back over, so the shepherd has to come and put them back up. I mean, come on, sheep. Come on, sheep. Right? We're not much better spiritually speaking. Once we find Jesus, we need to continue to then follow him and let him guide us. We don't say, hey, Jesus, thanks for Christmas. Nice to know you. Glad you were born. See you at Easter. Right? Who does that? You're laughing, but you know there are people who do that. And we've done that. I've done that. Instead, we need to say, goodness, I am lost without you, Jesus. Allow me to follow you, and you be my guide. You just take the reins. I'm hopeless without you. I'm totally dependent upon you. Guide me. Direct me. What do we do now that Christmas is over? We allow Jesus to guide us, just like the like the wise men did. I would love to know, side note, how the wise men lived their lives after this, like after being in the presence of Jesus. There is not much told about the wise men, but man, gosh, scripture, come on. Put that on the list of things to ask God when you get to heaven, I guess. What happened to the wise men, women, after that, you know? What'd they do? Because we know there was at least... Anyway, what we do know is us, we know that there was a baby that was born. We know that Jesus is here now. He's our shepherd. We're going to follow him. And then the last thing, they rejoiced and worshiped the baby. We all have this amazing picture in our head, right? The gifts and all the bowing down and all that stuff. I'm going to give you a little bit of a different perspective. So they rejoiced and they worshiped. They rejoiced for what God had done by providing this baby. And then they worshiped Jesus for who he was, the king. My version of the Bible says they were overjoyed. Overjoyed. Like, think of joy and then be over that. Overjoyed. It's translated as their cup ran over. Their joyful cup ran over. They were so happy to be in the presence of the Messiah. I have a feeling that they weren't too stoic or peaceful. If anybody's here joyful, are you really stoic and just calm? No. Get laughing. No. You're happy. You're overjoyed. What do you like when you're overjoyed? No, you're not straight-faced. You're like happy, right? These guys were happy. They were overjoyed. They were probably singing and dancing and enjoying the moment. Oh, my goodness, we found this beautiful baby, this king. They're probably animated. It totally paints a different picture that I have of wise men bringing, you know, being all just walking in, like kneeling down with their gifts. They're probably like, hey, hello, Jesus. Take that. Hey, high-fiving people and stuff. That's what Pastor would have been doing for sure. Yeah, high fives, everybody. They had an attitude of celebration for being in the presence of the king. This is how we're to live our lives. With the joy of baby Jesus in our heart. Even though Christmas is over, let's keep that, right? Now, I'm not saying that bad things and troubles don't happen, kind of like what Deacon Charlotte was talking about reading scripture earlier. I'm not saying that. And I'm not saying our attitude has to be naive, that, oh yeah, everything's great all the time. But there is an amount, that's happiness or sadness. Joy is that inner attitude that's provided in our hearts only by Jesus being in there. Joy is the fact that no matter what comes at us, Jesus is going to get us through it. He's going to help us through it. He's going to be there with us to get us through it. Joy is a positive attitude about who is going to be with us through the trouble. Not that the trouble won't come, but who's going to be with us as we go through the troubles. Hand in hand, side by side. Guiding us, leading us, because we're getting closer to him, and we're letting him lead us, right? Now that Christmas is over, let's keep that joy, can't we? And they also worshiped Jesus for who he was. They presented him with gifts to honor the king. They worshiped in that moment. How awesome is that to think about? They worshiped that there was a baby who is now present among us that was a king that would grow up to be the example of how to treat and love each other and how to love God. Now that Christmas is over, can we have joy? Can we have times of worshiping and remembering who Jesus is in our life? Let's please. This isn't about 4 weeks of word, hope, joy, peace, and love through Advent. This is stuff that's supposed to happen after Christmas is over, now. Because of Jesus and Christmas, we have the opportunity to do all of these things. We have an opportunity to seek God, Jesus, and get closer to him. We have an opportunity to let him lead us and to follow him, to be joyful in all circumstances. and to worship him for who he is in our lives. So, how have you let the celebration of Jesus' birth affect your life? Last Monday was Christmas. How's your last week been with Jesus in the midst of it all? How about in a couple more weeks? How about the middle of next year? How about I touch base with you in November? Because Christmas isn't about just one day. Our lives are now changed. The wise men, I know this, they left changed people after being in the presence of Jesus. How about you? When you celebrated Christmas and remembered him coming to earth for us to be the sacrifice eventually, do you actively seek him every day? Do you actively try to get closer to Jesus every day? Do you every day let him lead you? Or do you try to take the reins? Please don't answer that. Do you bring joy and worship to Jesus on a regular, daily basis? This is our challenge. To daily celebrate the baby Jesus. To daily celebrate the baby that came for us. Not just for the short season, every single day. So I have an answer to the question, oh, now what do we do? And it's not any of those things. Sorry, Tosh, the spreadsheet is not on my list. Sorry. But the answer for what we do now is we keep Jesus at the center of our life. Baby Jesus at the center of our life. We seek him. We follow him. Follow him. Follow him. Let him lead him. Man, that one's really hitting strong today. Maybe that's for me. Maybe that's for you. I'm not sure. And live joyfully and worship him always. Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you for this lesson from the wise men. God, I thank you so much for their example that they gave to us and how they treated being in the presence of baby Jesus. And help us to be people who are changed and seek you daily, God. It's our heart's desire to be closer and closer to you and to let you lead us and to lead joyful lives with you in the midst of everything and to worship and honor you. Help us to make the proper changes in our hearts that we need to, God, to apply these things to our life and to remember that Christmas isn't just a day. It's just a start. It's just the beginning if we need to reset our spiritual button, if you will, so that we can remember our every single day to focus in on you, who you are to us, and to grow in our relationship with you to guide us and direct us. God, we love you so much, and we're so grateful that you sent Jesus to be an example of unconditional love, of perfect love, sacrificial love, God. Help us to not take that for granted any moment of any day. In Jesus' name, amen.